Beach easy.
So what we decided to do, I sold my business and we moved to our house in the mountain with my one-year-old baby and teenagers who were not happy about that, but they survived it. And we decided to open a French bakery. So my husband got up at 3 o'clock in the morning, made the French bread, the croissant, and we made it. Then from the bakery, we were sandwiches, lunch, and stuff like that. So I've got three businesses going on the same time.
And three children.
Kids. Yes.
Oh my God.
I don't know how I did it.
Welcome to Life's a Beach and Then You Die. From personal growth and self-discovery to challenges and victories, we discuss it all. Join us as we dive into the extraordinary stories of ordinary people all the way to the end.
Welcome to Life's a Beach and Then You Die. I'm Julie Ellis, and this week I'm talking to Christiane Bergheim, a French immigrant who has a rich experience as an entrepreneur in the restaurant and wedding industry. She now lives here in Myrtle Beach, but her life started across the sea in France.
I grew up in a small town outside of Lyon. It's called Saint-Bernard. It's by the Saône River. And my father passed away now, but my mother still lived there. I lived there all my life.
Tell me, what year were you born?
I was born in 1952.
1952. And what was your childhood like growing up in France? This is a small village?
It is a small village and very family oriented. You know, weekends, you're always with the whole family, big lunches. And was great and went to school there. And my grandmother used to have a farm. And so our weekend, we were always on the farm.
On the farm.
So I learned how to milk cows and goats. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother used to make goat cheese. And so,
It was a great childhood. Just kind of a wholesome childhood.
Mm-hmm. With step on grape too, you know, step on grapes.
Yeah.
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 So my grandmother did her own wine.
Yeah.
And then the area where I'm from and outside of Lyon is also the Beaujolais area, the Beaujolais wine.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a big festival every year. Actually, when I was a teenager, we could drink and order anything we want in a cafe.
Yeah.
But, you know, Coca-Cola came to France from America, and that's what we all drink because that was the cool things
to
do.
Yeah.
But Christiane didn't stay in her idyllic French village. Her life was sent in a different trajectory when she met her husband. She was just 17 years old. He was from the next town over, and their chance meeting changed her life forever.
We met at the boom, was what we called it, when all the young kids got together and we danced. Mm-hmm. And we played music. And he was a chef, and he always told me he wanted to come to America. So we got married a week before, and we came here. I always liked everything about America. You know, we always heard about Miami, New York City, and all this, you know, and then the music also. I didn't really know what to expect.
Yeah.
You know, even so you go through magazines and stuff like that. But we arrived here. I was 19, he was 21 in New York City. And I was like, wow, where are we? And we didn't speak English. So.
Oh, none.
Mm-mm.
Oh, wow. And there was no translation app on your phone.
No, we did not have we didn't have phone at that time.
Wow.
I got my dictionary. That is my best book.
You carried that around with you
all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I still use it. You know, I could use my phone now, but it's something about this little book, you know. I was in New York for a week. My husband has a cousin who lived in outside of Washington, D.C. in Virginia, Alexandria. So my husband got a job. He was working in France for a very famous restaurant. It's called Paul Bocuse. And Paul Bocuse knew people all over the world. And he got my husband this job in Washington, D.C., the Ritz-Carlton Hotel. The restaurant's name was the Jockey Club. Beautiful. At the time in the 70s, the French restaurant was really big in D.C., mm-hmm. and, you know, and so there was a lot of French people. And so that's why we got here.
Mm-hmm. So he was working in that restaurant.
Yes.
What did you do?
Well, I was a hairdresser in France. So because I didn't speak English, I got a job at a beauty salon. And I did shampoo again because I couldn't communicate. So then that lasts for 6 months. Then I say, I need to do something about that. So I went to school and I learned. And I got my little dictionary with me all the time. And then I start to do my job.
Well, how did it feel being amongst people and wanting to communicate and you can't? Like, what's that feel like inside you? Did you just go, whatever?
Or well, at did first it I was a little shy with my the little English I know. I was a little shy about it. So I was like, But then my husband and I decide we cannot be around French people all the time.
Right.
Because
you're not
gonna
learn.
We were in a restaurant business. So we got an apartment and I got two wonderful neighbors and I babysat for them a lot because they were going out. Our husband was working for the mayor of Washington, D.C. And then she taught me English and then we cooked together and we sewed together. So I got my dictionary and she has hers and I learned a lot that way. And from the TV, I watched the cartoons. A Big Bird, you know, things children mm-hmm. learn. So that's the way I start to speak English.
She had big dreams and has always been ambitious. So while her husband worked in the restaurant industry, Christiane was finding her place in the beauty industry. They had a house and two kids. It was all going according to plan. But there's no way they could have planned for what happened next.
I create this beautiful service salon, 4,000 square feet, beauty salon. We did everything, you know, you can imagine. And my husband was working, and one day we went on vacation in Ocean City, Maryland. Came back, he got sick, and then 9 months later, he was gone. Then I got two children at the time, 8 and 10. It was not easy. Because I don't have any family here. My family's in France. So that was a little tough, but I didn't have a choice. I have two kids to raise, a house, a business. So I tough it up.
What kind of symptoms did your young husband experience before he found out he
gets
was
stomach,
ill?
Stomachache, get very bloated, and then he started to turn yellow, so we thought he got jaundice, but it was pancreatic cancer. The doctor told me, saying, do you have a will? And I'm like, no, I mean, you know, we were young. And because he was 36, I was 3 years younger than that. And I said, nope. He said, well, you need to do a will because your husband's going to die. I mean, that was like a hit me in the head.
Losing her husband was painful, so she buried herself in her work and her children. But Christiane had good friends looking out for her. They saw the pain and isolation she was in and knew she needed to get out and have some fun and connect with people.
Two of my employees and my beauty salon said, Christiane, you need to get out. You need to see people. You cannot be home all the time because you work, you're home, the kids. I'm like, okay, so we went to this French restaurant in Vienna, and I never been to that restaurant. There was a piano bar, and I worked there with my two girlfriends, and this gentleman came to talk to me, and he said, I want to know you. I was like, what? Mm-hmm. he asked me out. I'm like, well, you know, he said, are you married? Yeah, because I still have my ring. I said, no, I'm not married, and the ladies with me, she said, don't ask her a question like that. Don't ask her a question like that. Yeah. Anyway, so I told him where I was working. He find me and bring me some flowers.
Well, what did you think of him when you met him? Were you interested? Did you think he was handsome?
He was tall, handsome man. He was. And I was like, wow. You know, I never thought a man would talk to me. I was never single in my life.
Yeah.
Because I met my first husband when I was 17. And I thought, well, you know, you can take me out for dinner or go see a movie. I have nothing to lose.
Right.
So he took me for lunch, and then he said, I said, well, don't you have someone in your life? He said, well, I was married for 5 years, but I've been single for 15. And he said, when you walk in, he said, I know something special about you. I'm like, okay. So I told him, he was pushing me, saying, I don't date married women. And I'm like, I'm not married. And I say, I'm single, but my husband died. So he felt really bad. And then he wanted to meet my kids. He used to work for IBM. He got a good job, and he said, I will help you raise your children. So I was like, wow, I couldn't believe it.
That's so pretty amazing.
6 months later, we got married.
Did you really? And you felt love for him?
Yes.
It wasn't just because he
No. He was a wonderful man.
Yeah.
I was very lucky.
How did your kids take to that?
Well, it was at a time when the computer started, and my husband worked for IBM, so my son was really intrigued about that. My daughter missed her father so much, she was happy to have someone she can hug, because she was very young. And then my husband at the time smoked, and my son said, "It's no smoking in my mama's house." So he quit. He quit smoking.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's hard to imagine grieving for a young husband, but then also assisting your children while they're grieving. That's a lot.
Yeah, my kids never really got over it.
Well, you wouldn't. They were at such an age, too, that they can't really understand fully.
Yeah, they miss their dad so much.
But it sounds like, what was the name of your second husband?
His name was Fred.
It sounds like Fred helped.
Fred helped tremendously. My husband didn't have any children when I met him. So one day, and I said, you're a nice man. I think maybe we should have a baby. And he's like, really? I said, yeah. So I was 46 when I have my third son. And my husband was 10 years older than me. So for him, that was a big deal. And the whole family on this side, they never thought he would have children of his own. So that kid is being very spoiled.
Well, how was life then when you got your new husband? What were you doing? Did you still have your salon?
I still have my salon, but we bought a house in the mountains called Deep Creek Lake. It's a lake and also called ski resorts. So we used to go there on weekends. And then my husband, after 30 years of work with his IBM, they made him retired. And then to find a job after that, it's not easy. So what we decided to do, I sold my business and we moved to our house in the mountain with my one-year-old baby and the teenagers. We were not happy about that, but they survived it. And we decided to open a French bakery. So we went to France, my husband and I, and we went to about every pastry shop. We took some cooking lessons. So my husband got up at 3 o'clock in the morning, made the French bread, the croissant, and we invest. It was a big investment, and we didn't know if that was going to work. So it was a big chance we took. And we made it. Then from the bakery, we were making some money, but not enough to survive on. So I decided to do a cafe, and then I did sandwiches, lunch, and stuff like that. So we used the products, the French bread from the bakery and the croissant from the bakery he was making, then I was selling in my cafe.
Mm-hmm.
So then from that, I bought a restaurant, who I turned into a French restaurant. So I've got three business going on the same time.
Oh, wow. And three
kids.
Children.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't know how I did it.
I don't know either.
Yes. I like to keep busy.
Mm-hmm.
And all my life, I always make myself a goal on things I want to achieve. And then when you achieve it, then it's like, okay, so what's next? And then from there, I was starting, my restaurant did very well, and I was starting to do some weddings here and there. But my restaurant was a Victorian restaurant, so it was not really big enough to do weddings. except outside. But, you know, where we lived, sometimes the weather was not always very good in the mountains. So I find this farm, a 100-acre farm, run down. And I told my husband, I said, we can turn this barn into a wedding venue. And my family, my friends, my kids, everybody told me I was crazy. That is the best business I ever did.
And run that wedding venue she did. It was perfect timing. Right as Christiane started her business, rustic farm weddings became very popular, and she found great success and joy.
What did you love about that business?
Well, that business, first of all, you meet happy people. They're getting married.
Yes.
So they're in love. So that's why they are. So it's it's good. Sometimes depends. But, you know, always tell the parents, that's your kid's wedding. So the creativity, because not one of the wedding are the same. So from the tablecloth to the time for the arrangement, the food, the cake, everything was different every week. So that's what I really enjoyed it.
Was
quite, and I met some wonderful people.
How long did you do that?
I did it for 10 years.
And did you live right on the farm where you
had
your...
We lived right there on the farm. We redid the whole farmhouse. And I used to have a little log home from the 1700s.
Oh, wow.
So I fixed it inside where the bride could get ready.
Yeah. That's really interesting. And had you sold your three other businesses, your restaurant? And
yes, because...
You sold that all that.
We put this business in internet, you know, when it first started, and it exploded. I mean, I was booked 2 years in advance.
Wow.
So, but I did only wedding from second week of May until the end of October, because after that, it's too cold.
Right.
Then the snow comes.
Yeah.
So we did very well with this wedding. So in the wintertime, we were closed, and I didn't shovel snow every day. So we bought a house down here, and we came here for 3 months.
Down here
in the wintertime. In the wintertime. That's
smart.
The way we got here.
Did you vacation in Myrtle Beach before that?
Yes, I have some friends who have places, and we came and visit a few times, and I loved it. So I'm like, why don't we buy a house down there and spend our winter, and we go back in the summer to do our business.
What do you love about it besides the mild winters?
I love the beach. Yeah. I walked on the beach as much as I can, you know. And people are very friendly down here. I mean, you know.
How long did you do the wedding business up there?
10 years.
What made you stop doing it?
I got a little heart problem, so I got a stent. And because I was doing a wedding 1 week after the other, and I did everything.
Must have been very stressful.
Yes, it is. And so my husband said, so we either hire a caterer to do the food.
You were even doing the food?
I was doing everything.
Oh, my gosh.
The wedding cakes, everything. Oh. Well, you know, my staff came an hour, 2 hours before the wedding. But when they came, everything was ready. So every day I did something. My only Sunday afternoon was my afternoon off. And we went on a boat on the lake.
So you had a heart problem. You had a little stent put in. Were you okay after that? But it didn't make you reevaluate your stress level?
Well, yes. And, you know, my husband was getting older too.
Yeah.
And then I said, well, why don't we sell the place? We find this girl and she bought it. So we financed it for her for a while because she didn't have enough money. So it was fine. And then she did very well for herself. She's still running it. And we came down here to our house.
They had friends in Myrtle Beach, so when it came to retiring, they moved here. But retirement wasn't what they expected. Christiane realized she loved working, so she got a part-time job at Foxy Lady, a high-end women's clothing store here in Myrtle Beach. But what they weren't expecting was for her husband to get sick.
And then when we moved down here 15 years ago, then my husband got lymphoma.
Lymphoma. So how long had you been in Myrtle Beach before he got that diagnosis?
When we first came in. So I've been here 15 years. So he died 2.5 years ago.
Oh. But he lived with that for a long time.
11 years. I took care of my husband for 11 years.
How sick was he?
Well, he was the type of person, he never complained, you know. But yeah. he got chemos and radiation, and so.
And he went through all that after you left and thought you were going to retire, enjoy the beach, and instead he gets this diagnosis.
Yeah, we went out for dinner one day on the beach, and there was the sun hitting his face, and I said, what's the matter with your cheek? It's all puffy. You have a something there. He said, yeah, you're right. I don't know. So he went to see the doctor, and they did a biopsy, and then that's when they find out, and they have a...
The lymph nodes were...
It started right here on his cheek.
Oh, geez.
And then it was all over the place. So when my husband got very sick, then I couldn't work there anymore. So I took the dresses in my house and I fixed them in my house and bring it back.
11 years is a long time to nurse somebody that you love. Was it an introspective time? Did you have time to talk with him about life? What was his attitude?
Oh, yes.
What was his attitude?
Well, first of all, we thought he would live 5 years, but we lived better than that. So he always told me it's all the good food I made him.
all the good food you made him.
Yes. So he was not afraid of death.
No.
I am.
You are?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's not.
He was not. What did he say?
He always say, I got a good life. I'm lucky in my life. Then I met you and I have a nice family. And so he said, I did my life. And so it's happy ending. That's okay. But I was happy for him, but not for me.
Did that make you feel better knowing that he was at peace going through that? And
yes. And, you know, the last week he went down very quickly. So he didn't even remember.
No.
No. We went to see the doctor. And he was in a wheelchair by that time. And the doctor, his name is Dr. Goldberg, wonderful person. And he said, hey, doctor, what can you do for me? And he said, I'm sorry, but I cannot do anything for you anymore. Shook his hand and he said, I will never see you again. I went home with that. That afternoon, I got nurses who came to my house, hospital beds, and then it was a few days later, it was over. I put his ashes in the ocean, so I go birthdays, holidays, or even some no reason, I just go and throw some rose petals out there. And
so, I feel like he's part of the ocean now.
Yes. My first husband, when he got cremated and he told me, wherever you go, I want you to be with you. So I moved many times. So I carried his box all the time and I lost him twice.
Oh.
Yes, I did. I was like, oh, what did I do with the box? So and I found him again. So after my second husband passed away, I told my children, I said, okay, no more of this. We're going to the beach. So my two older children took care of their dad. My youngest one took care of his dad. That's it. We know where they are. They're going to be traveling all over the world. That's fine. So they say, okay. And then we put some roses. And it was in March. It was cold, but it was fine. And my younger son, I told him, I said, be careful when you do the ashes because it's very windy. Make sure you take it the right way. So he said, oh, yeah, Mom. Yeah, oh, yeah, Mom. Well, sure enough, he got covered with ashes.
Oh.
I mean, covered. So he was like, we laughed so hard. I mean, you know, it was so funny. And I told him, I said, I think that was a hug from your dad.
Yeah.
Your last, because he was a hugger. I think it was the hug from your dad.
Christiane had lost both of her husbands, but the world didn't end. And Christiane has kept busy. She's always had her goals and plenty of things to do. She even decided to get out of her comfort zone and try something completely new.
Well, I want to ask you about something that's extremely remarkable. You're 71 years old now, and you are running for Miss Senior World France and U.S. Tell me about this and what you're doing to prepare, because I love your attitude. I love your the way you just make a goal and go get stuff. Tell me about
well,
that.
Well, this is something I never did before. This is outside of my comfort zone. I have a girlfriend of mine I met at Foxy Lady. She's in the pageant world, and she was Miss North Carolina in one time. Her name is Jerissa, and she's a wonderful lady, and she can sell anything. So she's been after me for 2 years. She said, you know, she did the senior world for the 50s, and she won. And she says, so when you turn 71, you're going to do this. I said, yeah, well, whatever. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. And she said, yeah, you are going to do that. So one night we were at my house and we drink some champagne and I give in.
What does that entail, though? What do you have to do? Is it a physical fitness thing? What is it?
No. Not at all. It's about interviews is the most important part. They ask you questions about, I don't know what kind of question they're going to ask me. This is however you respond. And if you're going to win the title, then next year I'll be able to help other people. So this is woman helping women, women in business. And, you know, they are interested in me because I always did businesses almost my life and many different things. So I'm in the 70s category. So I think we're like five ladies. So if I come third, it's not that bad.
Right in the middle of that curve.
It's okay.
Are there women from all over the world, though?
One's going to be from Canada. One lady is going to be from Louisiana. As all of a sudden, between the 50, 60, and 70, we are 16 or 17 ladies. And it's a fun time. It's so you have interviews, which is very important. Then you have a dinner where it's dress up. Then you have a dance and then a talent. So the talent is not any like the young misses and stuff like that. In our age, it's like if you have a hobby, you play tennis, you can dress up as a tennis player or whatever. And my girlfriend was telling me last year there was this lady who liked to fish, so she dressed with a fishing gear.
Oh.
Well, for me, my talent is food and hair. Well, I'm not going to dress up as a chef. So I'm going to do French bathing suits from the French Riviera, Saint-Tropez.
You're going to wear them?
I'm going to have a bathing suit, a hat, and all that. Yes, so I'm working at my body.
Are you going to bedazzle that?
Yes, I am.
I love it. You're going to bling it out. I know it.
Yes. And then the last evening is an evening gown. So it's like about four different things we need to do. But it's just, you know, raising money also. So you have to have a platform. My platform is cancer.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm getting very involved with cancer.
Yeah.
So my daughter is going to come visit me here, and then we're going to drive to Biloxi. I have a sister-in-law who lives in Georgia, so I'm going to stop and visit her. I didn't see her for 10 years. So we're going to visit, and then we're going to keep on going, and we're going to spend a week in Biloxi and then come back.
Christiane went on to win Miss Senior World and follow through on all of her amazing plans. She continues to stay active and be part of her community, prioritizing family and friends.
A lot of people just kind of quit after 60, 65. They just kind of sit down and don't do anything. What advice do you give to people who are getting older and struggling with life? Like, what would you tell them?
Get going. I have a plan every day. Every day I plan my day. And we used to do that with my husband. Every day we say, okay, well, that's what we're going to do, you know. Get out, meet people. I mean, I walk to the beach all the time. I go out, get involved with friends. And, you know, most of my friends are younger than me. But they love to have me because, you know, I'm not boring. I hope I'm not.
I don't think so.
But my mom is 94. She's still playing cards. She's having a lot of fun. I want to be like my mother.
You've got 25, 30
That's
years
right.
left.
That's right. I hope so.
That's right.
And I want to travel. I think travel is a great thing. It's not like you have to go overseas. You know, there's a lot of places in the United States I would love to see.
Yeah.
I didn't see yet.
Well, you mentioned that although your second husband wasn't afraid of death, you said, but I am. Mm-hmm. Why is that?
I don't want to leave my family. I don't know what he would do. Because I always, for some reason, take care of them, cook for them, or, you know, help them out. So I always told my kids lately, I say, you know, I'm 71 years old. I'm not going to live forever. Oh, Mom, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. I guess I don't want to leave them. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the thing for most people.
Yeah.
Well, how do you want them to remember you, though, when you do go?
I'm a mom where I don't bother them. You know, I let them live their life, and I don't want to be a burden to them. So they know that. And I just hope they think I was fun.
What kind of legacy do you want to leave behind, whether it be for your community, with your work with cancer, or your friends? Like, is there something you would say is your legacy?
Then I got a wonderful ride.
Even with the sadness?
Even with the sadness, I got a wonderful ride.
Christiane has experienced more than her fair share of pain and sadness. But instead of letting that consume her life, she always moves forward, stays active, and appreciates the life she's had. There are always going to be hardships. But if we can learn anything from Christiane, it's that we can choose to keep going and make life a wonderful ride.
If you've been inspired by this story or any others, please take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review.
We don't just get away at the beach, we get together. Because no matter what floats your boat, we're floating right along with you. With over 2,000 restaurants, live music all day and night, and endless attractions, Myrtle Beach was made for having fun and beaching easy. Welcome to 60 miles where you belong, the beach. Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Plan your trip at visitmyrtlebeach.com.